You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
So much to get to tonight. A sports American icon in Dr. Harry Edwards will join us, who is probably the foremost authority on race and sports. He was the founder of the Olympic Council that went and advised John Carlos and company when they raised their fist at the 1968 Olympics, and has been around, has been a consultant for teams. Roger Goodell consults him. He has been a part of sports for a long, long time, 50-plus years, and he will join us in just a little while. I talked to him earlier today at 12 noon. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. You'll hear that interview at 8 o'clock, I should say. And I will point this out. This was prior to the Drew Brees comments that were made today. So keep that in mind when we talk about it later on. Now, NBA playoffs we will get to, which apparently I need an accountant to try to figure out who's going to be in and who's going to be out. And Major League Baseball and the union. I don't know that I have ever seen a collection of greedier people in my entire life on both sides. We will get to all of that throughout the course of the evening, but regrettably, we have to start with Drew Brees' comments, which I had not planned on doing. Naturally, I've got a little something in my throat as we start, but this is where we will start. And let's just begin by playing his comments for you from earlier today in an interview on Yahoo Finance.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better and that we are all part of the solution.
All right, a few things. Number one, Drew Brees obviously acknowledges that there's a problem in this country. A racial problem in this country. He took part in the Blackout Tuesday yesterday. Yet he comes back today with these comments that are misguided and, frankly, lack an understanding of the situation. Now, I respect the fact that Drew Brees has a right to say what he feels, that is what freedom of speech is all about. That is what the grandfathers that he spoke of were out there fighting for. I do think there are people, though, that, for example, in this instance with Brees, don't really understand what freedom is. So when you're talking about what your grandparents were fighting for, it wasn't for a flag. A flag is a symbol. They were fighting for an ideal. An ideal that someone has the freedom in this country to say what they feel, to take a knee to protest during the national anthem. It's freedom of speech. That someone can speak out against the government, against our country, and fear no reprisal from the government. That someone can burn a flag, which is the very symbol, as we talked about a few minutes ago, of that freedom. It is the symbol of that freedom. That is really the ultimate freedom in all of it, isn't it? The fact that you can burn the very symbol of the country, I mean, that is an unbelievable freedom of speech that you look at, and you may not agree with what somebody's doing, but our country affords that ability. Hate speech is awful. I may not agree with what people have to say. I don't agree with what Drew Brees has to say. I'll fight for his right to say it. In this instance, though, I think he is, frankly, ignorant on what he is saying. Just as it's someone's right to disagree with what is going on right now and the disrespect of the flag, it is their right to do just that. It's a very simple concept, but it's a very powerful concept. And I think it gets lost sometimes. It's like freedoms that exist when they're convenient. And there's a lot of things about the freedom in this country that it's supposed to afford that aren't convenient. Number two here for Drew is that when he speaks of his grandfathers fighting for this country, fighting for that flag, they weren't the only people there doing it. African Americans were there doing it too. I'll operate under the assumption we're talking about World War II, okay? Just based on Drew's age and such. So if they're fighting together in World War II, guess what? You're working toward expunging a terrible dictator and an entire ideology based in racism in Germany. You are fighting against that, and you are fighting with African Americans. The only problem is those African Americans were still segregated from the white soldiers. Yet they were asked to put their lives on the line to fight to abolish racism. It's more than irony there. It's unbelievable ignorance. So, number three, Drew has to understand, because of instances like that, different people in the country look at the flag differently. I'm not agreeing with any of it. I'm not agreeing with the decision to burn a flag if you want to. If you want to do that, I think that, you know, it may not be my thing, but I understand your right to do it. I understand your right to speak out. I understand your right to protest during the national anthem, which is something to me that, and trust me, the Kaepernick thing was nothing I ever really wanted to get into on this show, because I'm on the side that people don't agree with most. And that is simply that he was exercising a constitutional right. And that's what it is. And while you may not agree with what he's saying, he has the right to do it. It's not disrespecting the flag, what Colin Kaepernick was doing. Can we be clear on that? It's silent protest. Silent protest. So if Drew Brees is against that, how exactly are people supposed to protest? Are they supposed to, because African Americans have been told in so many different ways how they're not supposed to do it. Nobody has given them an instruction booklet to say this is acceptable according to us. No. There's not an instruction book in our country for that. Silent protest is probably in some ways the most powerful form, in some ways and absolutely the safest form, and yet people are outraged when it happens. And then they look at what's going on now, and the people that are part of this, that are unfortunately being destructive and not understanding that part of that is anger. None of it's right. None of it's right. So much of what's going on in terms of the rioting and all that are based in opportunists guys who are out there. You read in the Post about coordinated efforts to go into all these high-end stores in Manhattan. Groups of 40 or more driving away in these cars with scouts and elaborate plans and all that. And then you've got extremists on both sides. You know, most of the protesters are not burning down the cities. So if they're not supposed to protest silently, if that's not acceptable, and other ways they've been told to protest are not acceptable, how are they supposed to do it? How are they supposed to do it? Isn't it supposed to be a little bit uncomfortable when you're making a statement like that? I think it is. I think it is. I think that's the point of the whole thing. And now I want to turn to Malcolm Jenkins, who is Drew Brees' teammate for the second time. He played with the Saints years ago, moved on to Philadelphia, and now has re-signed with the Saints this offseason. And Malcolm had, as you would imagine, knowing that he is an activist, a very emotional response. Here is just part of it that's about 4 minutes long.
Our communities are under siege and we need help. And what you're telling us is don't ask for help that way. Ask for a different way. I can't listen to it when you ask that way. We're done asking, Drew. And people who share your sentiments, who express those and push them throughout the world, the airwaves, are the problem. And it's unfortunate because I considered you a friend. I looked up to you. You're somebody who I had a great deal of respect for. But sometimes you should shut the fuck up.
So that's Malcolm Jenkins. His entire 4 minute emotional response is on his Instagram page. I have to tell you, as you know, I spent a year in Philadelphia, and on my show with Ike Reese down the turnpike, when I first got there in 2016, Malcolm Jenkins was a weekly guest of ours. And I would not sit here and tell you that I know him. I obviously have interviewed him. I've gone out to the stadium. I've met him several times. But in that short time, you found out what Malcolm Jenkins was all about. This is a man of action, not just words. This is a guy that on his off days was lobbying down in Washington, D.C. Wasn't just working in front of the cameras to do real work. This is a guy to do fake work in front of the cameras. This was a guy doing the real work in every way possible. And you have just alienated a teammate with a comment that at this time is just remarkably insensitive. You have the right to say it. This is America. That's the great thing about freedom of speech. Just recognize everybody else's ability to have it and understand that in this instance, you're going to have some consequences of your words. It still annoys me that when you hear comments like that from Brees, that it's not even acknowledged that African Americans were fighting in that war side by side. They were right up front, yet they couldn't sleep in the same barracks or sleep with in the same area as white soldiers, and they're out there fighting against Hitler, the biggest racist of them all. How farcical is that? I have to be honest, I did not want to, I wanted to mix this up a little bit tonight. I think you're going to love the conversation with Dr. Harry Edwards. So much insight. He gets emotional during it. That's coming up later on. But for some reason, in the sports world here, we have somebody that just gets in his own way, and nothing he was saying could be misconstrued. What was misconstrued is what he was seeing. It's not against the flag. It's not anything you're not allowed to do. It is a civil right.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
All of this again because, you know, I'm not that bright. I think we've put that all together here, haven't we? Yeah. 800-919-3776. We will talk plenty of sports throughout the course of the evening. The NBA playoffs, which is remarkably painful to try to figure out. And MLB, you talk about just hypocritical. Oh, my God, the owners are the worst. The worst. The worst. But Drew Brees spoke up, so let's have at it. 800-919-3776. Also on Twitter, at Chris Carlin. John Carfone starts us off tonight. John, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, Chris? Good. How are you, Chris? Excellent job with this, by the way. You're doing a fantastic job covering it.
Thank you.
So I was listening to sports radio earlier this week, and I won't mention any names, but one of the hosts likened this struggle, and I bring this up because of Drew Brees' comments and just not getting it, brought up how this is like it was for his grandmother, who immigrated here from Italy and never spoke Italian while she was here and changed her name so she wouldn't be embarrassed because she was persecuted because she was Italian. I don't understand how people just are that stupid and they don't get it. That in itself is the worst kind of racism because you're being racist silently. It's dangerous.
Again, we established I'm not that bright. So he said his grandmother came here.
You know, I understand what you're going through. And he was speaking to a black man because it's not unlike what my grandmother experienced.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, look, I don't want to. I didn't hear the comments. I don't want to speak on anybody else's, you know, behalf or anything. That certainly doesn't sound ideal. But at the same time, that's hard for me to do because I didn't hear it. But the bottom line here is all this has really got to be about right now is listening and trying to help. That's all. That's all. And listening and trying to educate yourself. That's all. It's not that hard. And that's the thing about all of this to me. And I don't proclaim to have all the answers by any stretch, John, but as much as we talk about it being a complex issue, I think it's one that really isn't. If you just want to acknowledge one simple fact, we are all equal. That's it. And should be treated as such.
Very complex is the fact that racism is a character flaw. And character flaws aren't easily changed.
I think that's accurate, and thanks for the call. Character flaws aren't easily changed, but it doesn't mean that you don't try to change them. It doesn't mean that you stop trying. It doesn't mean any of that. John Sayreville is next. Johnny, how you doing, big cat?
Good, Carlin. How are you?
Good.
First time caller. You know, quickly on the Brees issue, he's going to get ripped apart at this point from here on in, you know.
What I really don't want to get lost here, John, is that Drew Brees has the right to say anything he wants to say. That's the
exactly,
great thing about
exactly.
this. And he's
point.
Going to, he will have to work it out with his teammates who disagree with him and who don't understand, or he doesn't understand what he said is actually, just misunderstanding the situation completely. And I don't want that fact to get lost in all this. He can say whatever he wants. Again, freedom of speech.
Could I try to pass on a somewhat of a solution? Not that anybody's going to listen here to me and go along with this. Brees points out that he feels his disrespect to the flag, obviously, and many, many people feel that way when you kneel during the national anthem, okay? 10 NFL players, and this might sound as silly as anything you ever heard, but can NFL players, instead of taking that time to kneel during the game, how about instead of doing a crazy dance in the end zone after every touchdown or posing for a photo op, take that time to kneel, okay? Sacrifice that part of your game.
What?
Or maybe even at halftime come out. We have 50 players on each team and every coach.
Well, John, don't you get the idea that There are people that see the differences in the country, see the country differently, and that's the moment for them to, as they feel, make the biggest impact.
But then we can't blame Breeze for what he's saying, because he sees it that way. Why are we calling him the bad guy for seeing it his way?
His comments this week, would you agree, John? His comments this week are tone deaf.
I would agree they're bad timing. Okay.
Yeah, no, they're tone deaf. And I appreciate the call.
I don't think he disagrees.
I think what I would say is, I'm not sitting here saying that Drew Brees is racist. I don't think he is. I don't think he is at all. I think those comments are just lacking a full understanding of what being able to speak your mind and protest actually all means. Like what they're doing in that instance is the most powerful way they could possibly express themselves and not hurt anybody else in the process. You can disagree with it all you want. You absolutely can. But when it boils down to it, when you keep telling African Americans how they're supposed to protest, or more accurately, how they're not supposed to, at some point, you know, they're going to get mad enough that it may turn into something that you don't like. And it's not just African Americans, it's anybody. You know, to sit there and tell them what's acceptable and what's not is not acceptable at all. Omar in East Brunswick. Omar, what's going on?
Hey, Carlin. You know, thank you for saying that, because that's really true, you know, what you said. And I just wanted to, you know, just give my sense on what Drew Brees said, because it's like, no matter what you try and tell people, it's amazing. They're so naive. And they only want to believe what they want to believe, you know. For Drew Brees, of someone of Drew Brees' magnitude, his influence in not only the city of New Orleans, but the whole state of Louisiana, his influence in the NFL, you know, he has people that listen to him and people who follow him. And for him, for a leader that Drew Brees is, and for the way people have presented him, for him to come out, and still, even if he did voice his opinion, that's not the right opinion to have right now, and everybody agrees with that. And the way he said it,
thing. You can't say that, okay? Again, Omar, that's going against the premise of what actual freedom is. You're saying he can't have that opinion right now. He can, and he did. And his right to say that is what's great about the country. So you can't lose sight of that. We can't say one side can say what they want and the other can't. Or we can't say side can only say it because it's politically correct and the other can't. That's not right.
Matt, you have to be smarter than that if you're Drew Brees, Carlin. You can't come out with a statement like that. Everybody knows why. Everybody who's realistic and knows what's going on knows why you kneel for the flag. But Drew Brees doesn't seem to understand that. And I don't know how many more ex-military or how many veterans have to keep telling him or the whole country that kneeling is not disrespecting the flag. And that's not what it means. That's not what it means. The kneeling means equality. And people need to understand that and stop being so selfish and coming up with every other reason to not agree with this issue going on. The same people that say all lives matter. Yes, all lives matter. Nobody is saying all lives. Nobody is not saying that all lives don't matter. But Black lives matter more now, importantly, than ever, because they have not been treated fairly. And that's
Omar, sit tight for a second. Thanks for the call. Black lives matter. That movement is founded on the fact that black people have felt for hundreds of years that their lives don't matter. And that's why the All Lives Matter thing is out the window. That's supposed to be the assumption. But this is a statement that has to be made because they've been treated like they don't. That's why. That's why. And as far as Brees, again, his timing was poor. He's going to have to deal with the consequence of his words. But he could say whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 729-800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. We do talk sports, and we will talk sports throughout the course of the evening. I promise that. Dr. Harry Edwards at the top of the hour. That is going to be, I think, something that you will really enjoy. And it is a conversation that I was very fortunate to have earlier today.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Carlin, how are you? New fan, big fan. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Can we just, I know people want to automatically give Drew Brees a pass. We're going to call him a lot of names, but let's please not call him ignorant. He's a Purdue grad. He's worth $100 million. He's been a star quarterback in high school, college, and now NFL for almost 20 years. He's had 25 years of working with predominantly black people. He knew exactly what he was saying. I find it impossible to believe after those 25 years, I'm a black man from Jersey City. I guarantee he has twice as many black contacts in his phone than I do. He knows way too many black people over the past 25 years not to have heard different. So whatever he doesn't know, he doesn't want to know. But let's not call him ignorant. He knows exactly what he's saying.
Well, I'm not calling him ignorant. I think the comment is ignorant.
You are. I'm not saying you are.
I think the comment is ignorant.
Well, I'm saying it almost sounds like we're passing off as him being naive or unaware. You don't want to
No, I don't think he's unaware. I just don't think he's thinking fully when he says, my grandfathers fought. Well, other people fought, too. And they were African Americans, and they weren't even allowed to sleep at the same place as your grandfather. So, you know, when we're talking, what I don't like specifically, though, is the idea that it, how many different ways have people been told not to protest? And now this is not acceptable. So, you know, what is it exactly that they're allowed to do?
That's my point. Drew Brees is far too intelligent. I've never in my life heard him misspoke. And what he said today sounded quite clear. So I've heard him after.
Oh, no, he was very clear in what he said today.
Yes. So, you know, he knows.
We just don't agree with it. We just don't agree with it. That's listen.
A little bit deeper than that. But,
as I have said. Yeah, as I've said, and I appreciate the call and the kind words at the beginning, too. As I said, takes nothing away from his ability to speak his mind. One bit. Not at all. Mel in New Jersey is up next. Mel, what's going on?
Carson, hey, man, I'm enjoying the show. I want to say another great night, another great show. From day one, since we had Willis McGahee on the air, I believe you guys been saying all we have to do is just listen to each other, you know? Everybody might have an opinion. Everybody didn't go through the same thing. Willie said that a bunch of other black people could call up and tell you the stories that he been through, and we could all go through the same thing. I've been listening to the radio. I'm listening to ESPN. And different people on the air, they say it's an uncomfortable thing to talk about because they don't know about it, you know? But we do have to get comfortable talking about it. And, you know, everybody has their own different perspective, and that's the thing. I love Drew Brees. I'm hoping that the Saints win another championship. I do not blame him for what he don't know. You know, he don't know what it's like being a teenager, a black teenager, and knowing that the cops got a target on your back, you know? If he knew that, he'll feel different. And my last point is, now, listening to it all, you know, they say that that Colin Kaepernick disrespected the flag. And, like, I'm looking at it. Colin Kaepernick, he kneeled for police brutality. And they keep talking about the flag. And now I'm feeling like Colin Kaepernick getting disrespected. And also black people are still getting disrespected because it was never about the flag. But that's always what the conversation is.
It was never about the flag. It was about what's going on in America. First of all, it's during the anthem. It's not about the flag.
Exactly.
It's the anthem. And if you can't protest silently that way, what can you do? And the reason he was doing it was because of police brutality. Absolutely true. Appreciate it, Mel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dre, Patterson, New Jersey. Next, Dre, what do you got?
How you doing, brother? How's everything going?
You know, not too bad. How about you?
I'm going to talk about Cap. I love Cap and Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow took a kneel down, too, back in the day. I don't know if he was in college or he was with a football team. I'm not sure, but you know, all the things going on in the world today.
I think it was both, in fact.
It was both. But nobody never criticized him, though. Never. Never. They praise him. He's still in the Major League Baseball today, the Mets.
Well, yeah, he's in the minor leagues for the Mets, and that's a joke that he is, but they did that for money.
Yes, but I've been doing public safety for almost 16 years. I'm a kid from the city of Patterson. Once you're in the police force, everything is blue. It's a blue, like you're a blue brother. It's no white, it's no black. It's some type of brotherhood. See, that's the problem today. People don't know that. We work with each other. I got your back, you got my back. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I'm trying to tell you, all the African-American kids today, you have to take the civil service test. Everybody think becoming police is a snitch. It's not a snitch. When I was growing up in the city of Patterson, all the football coaches, the baseball coaches, the basketball coaches from PBA, Powley, pizza restaurants, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They need more community policing out here, all over the world. Police need to come back into our city, start coaching. A lot of police is football players, basketball players, and baseball players went to universities. It's incorrect.
Well, so you're saying that they need to come back and join the police force, or where they need to, or more younger people need to sign up for the police force?
Young African American people need to sign up. Stop thinking you snitching on people. It's not y'all snitches. No, we're not snitches. It's a career.
Listen, I agree with the idea that, you know, change comes from within, and I think that that's part of it as well, but it's not how it's made up racially. To me, is how it's supposed to go. It's supposed to have all alleged perpetrators or whoever treated equally and fairly according to the law. I understand what you're saying. We had a caller the other day say that these local police departments should reflect racially what the community is.
Right.
And I understand what you're saying on that front. I just think no matter who it is at this point, they have to, first of all, be able to police themselves and get the people out who just don't understand what they should be doing, who just don't understand about all of this, and be able to recognize them. And it's got to be stricter screening. It's got to be all that stuff. And I get it. It's an impossible job in a lot of ways. It really is. I mean, the police officers have all my respect in the world, you know, and I know that we talk about just a few people who have done this, but there has been a systematic issue here throughout the country for a very long time.
Yes, like Drew Brees. I love Drew Brees. I love him. But today I see him different. I mean, I respect him because he donated a lot of money to the Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. I respect that. But now I see a little different, though.
I honestly don't believe Drew Brees is racist by any stretch.
No, he's not racist, but how he came, like, you know, my great-grandfather was in the war, you know?
And exactly.
It's just like, you know, we won. No, see, people in like North Korea, they're probably laughing at us right now. Look at the United States. They're falling apart.
Dre, the thing about it is, and I appreciate the call, like, what his grandparents were fighting for, what everybody was fighting for, was for the very freedom to be able to do and say, well, really specifically say and protest and speak your minds, the incredible freedom that is given to us by this country. And fighting for that allows other people to protest during the anthem. It also allows Drew Brees to say he doesn't think it's a good idea. So I'll defend to the death his right to say that. I don't think he's racist at all. I think it was a poorly timed and ignorant comment to make. And when you at least have to acknowledge that when you're talking about your grandfathers and you think about that, there were plenty of African Americans who were fighting there too. Ironically enough, to abolish the most racist regime the world has probably ever known, with Hitler. and still back home, segregation. Harry in Brooklyn. Hey, Harry, what's going on?
Hey, Mr. Carlin, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Wow, I can't believe I'm on the air with you. I mean,
it's a dream come true. It's magical, isn't it, Harry?
you're 100% right. Absolutely. I mean,
aim higher. Aim higher.
All right. Well, I just want to say to you tonight that, I mean, I respect you so much for talking about this issue. There are so many sports talk show hosts on the radio who are dodging it and, you know, not giving the type of time to it that you are. And, I mean, I've been listening to sports radio for over 25 years, going back to Mike and the Mad Dog on the D train with my headphones on my ears, coming home from the link from Abraham Lincoln High School, you know, with my Walkman on, listening to them, and I got hooked on it, you know. And I'm just so refreshed to hear you with your respect, with your perspective tonight and what you're saying. You know, I'm a 47-year-old black guy. I live in Brooklyn, Bushwick. I have two interracial children, 22. My son just turned 18 last month. And this issue is so hard, so devastating for me. You know, I have long dreads on my back. I've been a city employee for over 20 years. And for the most part, I don't get bothered. I really don't. Cops don't harass me. You know, my life is pretty simple. But I have been. I've experienced those things. And I talk to my son about those things. You know, my son looks just like the Dominican kid that got killed a few years ago in the Bronx when he got, you know, so savagely beaten. He looks just like that, but he's interracial, you know. And he wants to be a police officer so bad. That's all he wants. And you know what I tell him? Go for it. Do it. Because maybe you can be that, you know, maybe you can be a spark plug and change things in this system, because as up to this point, there's been no change, and that's all he wants to do. And I don't disparage him. I don't discourage him. I tell him, go do it. He's going to John Jay. You know, he wants to be involved, you know.
I mean, it's honestly, Harry, I hate to cut you short, but I have to. It's sure. Great to hear
sure.
That he wants to be involved. Thanks for the call. And it's encouraging to hear that. And I'm glad that that's the case. I really am optimistic about what has transpired from the standpoint of real change being affected moving forward. And that's what I choose to do. I choose to look at the glass half full, that this is not going to all happen in vain, and that, frankly, you know, good and what is right will win out in the end.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
AFP, which is a journalism outlet that is based, let's see, Jerusalem, Paris, London, has a Madrid bureau as well. This is out of the Madrid bureau posted by Hazel Ward, who is verified on Twitter. If you are looking to get back to normal, here is the most normal headline we've seen in a while. Spanish porn star Nacho Vidal, who likes to advertise his aromatic candles shaped like, on Twitter, he has been arrested on manslaughter charges following a man's death during a mystic ritual in which he inhaled psychedelic toad venom. And we're back. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. Sal in Suffren is up next. Hey, Sal, what's cooking? Sal?
Chris. Yeah, Chris, love your show.
Thanks, bud. What's going on?
Just wanted to call about the Breeze situation. I don't understand the outcry about the whole Breeze situation. 3 years ago when there was a debate about the kneeling for the flag, some people said it was good, other people said it wasn't. It was a debate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no one thought it was no one was screaming about it's disrespectful for the flag to kneel by the flag now. To kneel by the flag.
Again, not the flag, it's the anthem. It's not the flag. It's during the anthem.
During the anthem, fine. And today, and now we're saying that, and again, everyone agreed that the reason, they agreed with the reasoning, yeah, that Ryan Kaepernick was kneeling, yeah? They just thought it was the wrong time to kneel, right?
A lot of people did not like the fact that he chose to kneel during the national anthem, yeah.
Right, but they agree with his reasoning that kneeling, of course, because of police, police brutality, they agreed with his reasoning. They just didn't think it was the right time to do it, right?
That was the opinion of a lot of people, but a lot of people didn't agree with his opinion on things either.
1,000%. But Drew Brees today is being totally consistent with that opinion, yeah? He's 1,000% disagrees with police brutality. He thinks everyone should protest. But he believes that time is the wrong time. What's the outcry? I don't get it.
What you don't get is this. The fact that Drew Brees chose today to say that he will not stand for anybody disrespecting the anthem or the flag when his grandfathers fought for that symbol. Okay, a couple of things about that. Number one, the flag is a symbol of the freedom of speech. Can we agree on that?
1,000%.
Among other things, the freedoms that we have in this country. What Brees doesn't understand, in my estimation, is that that freedom of speech includes a man's ability to kneel during the national anthem. You would almost call it the ultimate freedom in that you are speaking out against your own government. You are speaking out, or you are feeling that you need to protest a particular aspect against something that's going on right now. And that is the freedom for which his grandfathers were going out and fighting. That ability. The fact that Colin Kaepernick can do that is what they were fighting for. Now, Drew may not like that, I understand. But he also has to remember this. He wasn't the only one that had grandparents there. There were plenty of African Americans that had grandparents who were fighting in the wars, who were fighting against Adolf Hitler, who might be the greatest hate monger of all time. And with that being the case, they were fighting, even though, to hopefully wipe out racism in Europe, even though they weren't allowed to sleep in the same barracks as white people, because they were segregated. So when you put all of that together and you tie it in with what's going on right now, it is a tone-deaf sentiment from Drew Brees.
Yeah, but look, he wasn't.
However, he does have he does have the freedom to say it. He's just going to experience some reprisal in return for saying it.
I understand, but he wasn't like he offered. Of course, it's the wrong time to say it right now. But he didn't go ahead and make an announcement. He was asked the question. Now he just stuck with what he was saying consistently for the last 3 years. That's what I don't understand. I understand it's not the right time to say it right now, but he didn't offer the information. Someone asked him a question. So he just stayed consistent with everything he said, with everything he held until now.
Well, look, I think he chose a poor time to do it, and I appreciate the phone call. And you're talking about staying consistent. Look, it's his right to do it. I just think he probably caused himself some more headaches by doing it. I don't think there's any question about that. Malcolm Jenkins, his new teammate and one of the most outspoken individuals in all of professional sports about civil rights, is livid and went on a 4-minute rant on his Instagram today. We have a bite of that. We'll play for you in a little while. But the point is it was a bad time for Brees to do it. It was a really bad time for Brees to do it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
As a sociologist in this country, Professor Emeritus at Cal Berkeley, and somebody that has always been out front on civil rights and the intersection of sports and race, and the man that advised Tommy Smith and advised John Carlos in advance of the 68 Olympics, didn't tell them what to do, but advised them, advised Colin Kaepernick, advises Roger Goodell. You heard all of that throughout the course of his interview, and he is blatantly honest, brutally honest in a lot of ways, as you heard as well. Says he knows what Roger Goodell's all about, but ultimately that was a dumb statement, like Dracula saying he's going to donate to the blood bank. Oh, boy. But as much as I've enjoyed an interview in a long, long time. 800-919-3776. Back to the phones in just a minute. But allow me, if you will, to talk about Major League Baseball and the Players Union. If you did not know, MLB and the Players Union have been negotiating, trying to get a deal together to play some actual baseball this season. And the players' recent counterproposal of 114 games and no pay cut was soundly rejected today by Major League Baseball. Not only was it rejected, there was no new counteroffer made. They said they have no interest in the season going on until November, which the players, their proposal would have, in essence, had, because the postseason would have gone into November, because they're concerned about the second wave of COVID-19 and the potential of losing $787 million in broadcast revenue. Okay. All right. So you chose not to make a counter proposal. March 26th, both sides came to an agreement that there would be a, quote, good faith negotiation if it was going to be determined that baseball was going to be played without fans. Okay, they squabbled over that for a little bit, but ultimately Tony Clark this weekend agreed they were aware that that was the case, that they would have a good faith negotiation. So they came back, they gave them a counter proposal to baseball's initial proposal, and now baseball has decided they're not going to make a new offer back. Now, we all know it's likely posturing, but those two words in there, good faith negotiation. A good faith negotiation is not deciding you're not going to have a counter offer, not deciding you're going to negotiate. You're screaming and yelling for a month about the fact that the players had to come back to the table, and now you just walked away from the table because you don't like what you see. I have never seen a collection of greedier people in my entire life on both sides, but specifically the owners. I mean, think about the remarkable gall it takes to continue to fight through a pandemic, to fight through racial tensions, which have our cities literally on fire in some cases. And you are squabbling over this money, not for a long-term collective bargaining agreement, not for the greater good of the game, but for the money in your pocket this season. You both are an utter embarrassment, and as far as the owner's concerned, Tom Ricketts, his ridiculously tone-deaf comments yesterday, and now the owner's stepping away and not making an offer. Honestly, just go away. We don't care anymore. You guys have now just decided you're full-on going to take advantage of the situation at hand. And that is despicable. That is despicable on every level, because both sides are worried about just losing the slightest edge at the end of, not this season, next year in the negotiations. Don't play a year. Do us a favor. Walk away. Honestly, most of the owners seem to want that now at this point anyway. Walk away, don't play a season. I don't care. I don't care. Because the two sides have no concept whatsoever of what's going on in society and treating it at all as if it is a priority. And you are just sitting there and squabbling over every last dollar right now. Billionaires are losing money. Damn. Millionaires are losing money. I know there are a lot of players who aren't. And I know there are a lot of players who need the money. You guys are in the majority on the player side. 65% of you make $1 million or less. Go get to Tony Clark. Go get to Scott Boras. And on the other side, if you have any soul, get back to the table. What a complete and utter disrespect of the baseball public. 800-919-3776. Mark in Newark, next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Carlin. A couple of things. On that first note, and the players are the ones who got to go out and play baseball with the chance of getting COVID-19. That seems to be just totally lost. Oh, it just seems to be totally lost.
It does. Now, look, there are greedy people on the player side as well. Tony Clark is worried about keeping his job, and Scott Boras is worried about every last penny. And those two guys seem to be running the union right now.
And nobody's worried about this killer disease. That's all I'm going to say about that. Something happened the other day I thought that I would say because it struck me. So I'm in ShopRite. And I'm getting some things. And on my way out the door, there was a police officer, a white police officer, but a police officer. And I was walking past him, and I just felt compelled to say something to him. So I said, hello, officer. I said, thank you so much for your service. And I went in, he just nodded and said, thank you, and I went out the store. But I had forgotten something, and particularly my daughter's flowers. So I came back, and I had to go past him again. And I didn't make it to the door, and he looked at me, and he was visibly choked up. And he said, I appreciate you. He stuttered, I appreciate you. Thank you again. So I'm walking to my car. And I was thinking about that encounter. And what I came away from with it was, you know, it seemed to me that he said something twice because he was saying to me, thanks for giving me a chance. Thanks for giving me a chance. And I was feeling, thanks for giving me a chance. And I just thought I'd share that today.
That's a great story, Mark. Thank you for sharing it. We all need a little something to feel better about, and you just gave it to us right there. I love seeing all the images of people hugging police officers. You know, understanding that it's not everyone. That while there is a larger problem, that it's not all of the police officers. And I also appreciate the fact that you have officers that are out there doing their job, but treating protesters with respect. You have a lot who aren't. They're being directed in some ways, but at the same time, it's such a terrible situation across the board right now. We hope that we can learn and grow from it, and hearing that story just made me feel pretty good.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.